So as many of you know, I'm sort of new, relatively new, to living in the South. And so I've been asking people about their Thanksgiving customs, like deep-fried turkey and things like that. So I'm asking about, oh, what's traditional for you, and who's at the table, and what's on the menu? Two people told me this week that Alice's Restaurant is their favorite Thanksgiving song. The song by Arlo Guthrie, I think you need to be of a certain age and maybe from Stockbridge, Massachusetts, to know the history of that song, when Arlo Guthrie was indeed arrested on Thanksgiving Day and spent the day in jail. If you don't know about that, you'll get a chance to sing along with Lewis at the feast. Many told me about famous and traditional family recipes. And many households have a pattern of asking everyone at the table to go around one by one and say what they were grateful for. One commentator that I read on a regular basis, Nadia Boltz Weber, sent a prayer out to everyone, well, actually a prayer out to God earlier this week. And this is what she said. God, if it's not too much of a bother, could you, in your infinite mercy, help everyone be on their best behavior at all our Thanksgiving tables? That'd be great, because more drama we don't need. Amen. So mixed with fond memories and good cooking smells, there are stories of drama at the table. Stories of times that were bumpy, or when someone was missing, or when all the work didn't turn out to be exactly what was expected. There was a time when creamed onions made one appearance at our table. Or perhaps there was worry. Now, many of us know a version of the first Thanksgiving story, and we learned that two tribes of people shared a meal together and that that was an extraordinary event. The Pilgrim settlers and the Wampanoag First Nations peoples. As a child in school, our annual art project was to make either a pilgrim hat or a headband full of feathers. I like the feathers. The first attempt to mark Thanksgiving as a national holiday came from George Washington in 1789. Now, this was not well received. Jefferson scoffed at him, and members of the cabinet said, oh, you don't need a national holiday for some pilgrims, a few pilgrims who had a few hardships. But Puritan New England had made Thanksgiving the main holiday of the year. And it was marked by a day of prayer and of going to church. In the pilgrim culture, that religious culture considered Christmas and Easter to be inferior holidays tainted by pagan customs. And so Thanksgiving was it. For many years, Sarah Josepha Hale, who was probably ahead of her time, she was an editor of two major women's magazines. For 40 years, she wrote to presidents, she wrote editorials in her magazines, desiring a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. This became a reality in 1863, when President Abraham Lincoln signed the first Thanksgiving Proclamation. It was around 1860 that the Iroquois Confederacy, the Seneca Nation, had recorded the Hadassani Thanksgiving address. If you've never read it, Mr. Google can help you. And it's just beautiful. But the country and Lincoln were in the midst of the Civil War when that proclamation was issued. Prayers seemed especially appropriate for the war dead, for widows, for orphans, and for those whose lives had been preserved so far. Worry was writ large for many. And in 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was also issued. In today's gospel, Jesus talks about what worries us. And he names what we often worry about, food and clothing. But we worry about shelter. We worry about survival. And so, as he often does, he redirects our spirits, he refocuses our gaze. He tells us that our time and our energy would be better spent seeking the kingdom, what some have called beloved community, or what we know of as the kingdom of God. And so our prayers today, our texts, our music, move us in gratitude toward the source of our well-being, especially the beauty and wonder of creation, the generosity of our Mother Earth. Now, in our tradition, we have something we call the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have a special feast day in the church year for it. Bishop Steve Charleston, in a number of his books, tells us that Native Americans have a different Trinity, a different Trinity of relationship between the Creator, the Earth, or we would call her Mother Earth, and humanity. And there's a call for balance, for mutuality, for a trust that needs to be built and maintained, especially when things get bumpy. Bishop Charleston tells us that the earth is a living being. I noticed recently that when I use the word creation to describe the earth, I feel distanced from it, as if it were an object or a thing unto itself, separate from me. But if I begin to speak about Mother Earth, I am leaning into a relationship. I am acknowledging an entity that is alive, that breathes, that grows and dies. It is a being of infinite parts, as we humans are beings of infinite parts. And like humans, Mother Earth has a spirit. She has a heart, a generous one, which we acknowledge today. But she also needs healing. If we don't believe she's alive, we don't believe she needs to be saved. Land is not just dirt and rocks, a resource to be extracted and used for our benefit. It must be tended. It must be nurtured. But first, I think we need to listen. So I'm suggesting this year that we invite Mother Earth to our Thanksgiving table. She has a voice, and it's time to listen to what she has to say. She's arrived this year at the table with bumps and bruises, inviting us to notice what needs our care. What do you think she sang to us? What does her voice sound like? How do we listen? She is our ancestor. So caring for her, in caring for her, part of our purpose is action. Because Thanksgiving is more than just a feeling of gratitude. Our response is a choice. I believe our faith asks us to be good ancestors. Mother Earth needs us to be good ancestors, to extend her life, not just for us, but for others. To be good ancestors of water, good ancestors of the land, good ancestors with things that fly, that swim, that walk, good ancestors with our neighbors, with our thoughts, our words, and our feelings. We share this sacred space with many others. God, through the prophet Joel, said, "You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you." The body and soul of Mother Earth. As we do in the Eucharist, we receive what has been offered to us. We break it open, we share its blessing, and we are sent into the drama, the bumpiness of the world. Trusting. In a power that is greater than ourselves, that we are a part of. And so today we should, and we do, listen for the voice that tells us what is needed. In God's name, amen.